Urban Media Today talking sports. Trevin A. Jones, along with Vince Butts and Ray Porter Jr. Big guy, we still got you in our hearts, prayers, and all on our minds, of course. Looking at that mic. The mic's waiting for you. Can't wait for you to get back. Let's make it happen. Gentlemen, let's talk NCAA hoops. And, all right, you know me. I'm always going to talk about Trae Young. But Oklahoma lost one game. Today they play Iowa State. But they were still like 17th on the poll this week. Which doesn't make me look too good since I picked them to win it all and come March Madness. But Ray's team is still at the top of the bracket at number one. They played St. John's earlier, and then today they play Butler. Butler gave them their loss this season.
This is true. So this will make a very good rivalry, and Villanova is going to come back and get that victory.
Oh, yeah? You think it's going to be revenge, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this time it is in Philly. They play at noon today, Eastern time. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they could. I mean, well, let's see what's happening. Ray, go through the top five for us.
Yes, sir. In addition to the Wildcats, number two, Virginia, who, in my opinion, it just still surprises me.
Why? They play great defense.
And they do. Great defense.
Yeah. Have you seen their roster? Mm-hmm. Have you seen them play?
Yeah, they are. They're a tough team. And I guess maybe it's just because of the fact that they're ranked so high. Maybe that's what it is. I'm just not used to it. Not since the old Ralph Sampson years.
Wow, that's going way back.
I know. You know.
That's going. Some people weren't even alive. That's how far back that's going. But mm-hmm. I got you.
And then number three, the Boilermakers from Purdue.
Who's awesome. That? Have you seen Haas?
Yeah.
Isaac Haas?
Yeah.
He's a 7-footer that can play ball. Like, he can hoop.
Yeah, that's the truth. And right behind them, Big Ten foe, Michigan State, and one of my favorite coaches, Tom Izzo.
He's still your favorite coach?
Yes, sir.
So you think he didn't know anything about what was going on with Nasser? Nasser?
Oh, yeah, he knew.
I reserve my my praise for him right now.
I'll say that's. I mean,
oh,
you know,
no, don't take it back, man. Don't take it back. You better be a man up. If that's your man, that's your man.
I've always liked Izzo, but I just totally forgot about the current events. So that is a good point. But, no, I still respect the dude, but they're in a mess. They're in a mess in that school right now.
All right, I don't disrespect him. I just don't think that he didn't know. Like, he's like, oh, he didn't know anything. I'm like, yeah, I don't believe that.
He's pretty well up there. He knew.
Yeah. He's out on the roster. Go ahead. You were going through it. That's the top five?
Oh, then there's one more, Xavier. Here's what's interesting, though. This is the first time in a while that I've seen both polls have the top five exactly right.
Anyway, I don't even believe in him. I'm like, yo, it's like you got the coaches. Look, I give more credit to the coaches poll.
Than the AP.
Yeah, because we as writers, you know, us being in the industry as well, we can sit back and just give our opinion.
Right.
You know, and that's exactly what
I'm
doing.
This is true.
So I look at the coaches poll, and it's like, okay, I give more credence to that poll.
But it's just amazing how that, I mean, yeah, you know, that is an excellent point. I didn't even think of it that way.
What? But
as far as how the coaches poll should have more precedence.
Of course, they watch them play.
Right.
They're watching those teams play. And plus, those are their opponents. They have to study these teams. Right. You have to study the individual players. So you know how good a team is.
This is true.
So go through the next five.
Next five is the Cincinnati Bearcats, followed by the Texas Tech. Look at them at number seven.
The Red Raiders?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And then Auburn and the Patriots of college basketball, the Duke Blue Devils. At least in my opinion, anyway.
You mean Marvin Bagley III? That's
who, honestly, probably could challenge, in my opinion, probably not win, but challenge Trae Young for one of them. Of those national awards.
He will.
Oh, he's on the list.
Yeah, Marvin Bagley III is dropping triple doubles.
He's on the list. And he ain't going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and he's a man amongst boys. And I mean, when you look at Trae Young looks like a youngster. Mm-hmm. Marvin Bagley III looks like a grown man.
Yeah, after watching him against Pitt, he was pretty much eating them for dinner.
Of course he was.
And then afterwards, you know, and Kansas at number 10 is surprising because I'm used to seeing Kansas where Virginia is right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so the Kansas Jayhawks.
Well, I'll tell you what. Don't get too stuck on Kansas being at number 10 because they were at the middle of the week, they were 19-5 in the Big 12 Conference. But they also had Texas Tech, who's in the Big 12 Conference, and Texas Tech is ranked. And then you got West Virginia, who was 18-6 in the middle of the week. They're also in the Big 12 Conference. And then you have my Oklahoma Sooners, who are in the Big 12 Conference. So you have those four teams that they're going to battle it out going down. And then I didn't even talk about Texas. I mean, Texas is right there, too. So Kansas got a tough way to go. Because in this year, I think they lost more games at home than they lost in forever.
That is true.
So, you know, they were 19-5 on Wednesday and at the middle of the week. And then they were Texas Tech was 19-4. West Virginia was 18-6. And Oklahoma was 16-7. Kansas State was also 16-7. And Texas was 15-8, as well as TCU. That's close. That's a lot of parity going on in the Big 12. So Kansas, if they come out with any type of I guess at this point in the season, you're just trying to see who would be a top four seed.
Right.
When you reach March Madness, man, get that one up because you still got to go through conference tournaments, regular season, and then tournaments.
For me, the top three are set. You know,
you think
like Villanova,
mm-hmm.
UVA, and Purdue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
It's like everybody else is just gonna battle out for the number four spot.
What does that remind you of? The playoff, college football playoff.
So let me ask you, gentlemen, this: you think UVA, as tough as they've been playing, and they have great defense, and I give it to them. Wednesday they were 22-1, as you said, Ray. But then you have Clemson, who's 19-4 in the conference, 8-3. You have Duke, who was 7-3, 19-4 in the conference. I mean 19-4 overall. And you have Miami of Florida, who was 6-4, as well as North Carolina State at 6-4. And then don't forget about Florida State at 6-5. Now, all of those, and then we didn't even mention North Carolina.
Right, which is
so
surprising.
It's like, do you think Virginia is going to be able to outlast these teams through the rest of the regular season, get through the ACC tournament, and have a number one seed in the big dance?
Like, I mean, what wins championships?
Defense.
You know, so, I mean, UVA has an excellent defense,
mm-hmm.
and enough offense, you know, to get. I mean, they may stumble along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a loss here is not going to necessarily hurt them
mm-hmm.
because all these teams are going to, you know, they're going to beat each other up, and they're going to lose a game here or there, but there'll be big question marks about those other teams. You know, I mean, UVA loses a game or two to North Carolina or Duke down the road,
mm-hmm.
not a big deal,
okay.
You know, especially if it's on the road. And I didn't check out their schedule, but, you know, I mean, you lose to those teams on the road, and it's not so bad.
Okay. Well, I like UVA because you got guys like Kyle Guy who's averaging 15 points a game. Devin Hall's averaging 12.1. And then that's it for people averaging in double figures. So that means you have to play as a team. Not to mention that, Kyle Guy is shooting 41% from behind the three-point line. And then Devin Hall, who I mentioned as well, he's shooting 44% from behind the three-point line. And then you have Ty Jerome, who's hitting 42% from behind the three-point line. So, and then you got a guy on the bench, Marco Anthony. He's shooting 41% from behind the three-point line.
Oh, man.
Okay. Now, he doesn't have as many minutes. So, I mean, he's only played in 11 games. But, I mean, and his average is only 2 points a game, but still, if he's still hitting, well, he hit 5 of 12 shots from behind the three-point line, but more like Kyle Guy shooting 41%, he hit a 63 of 153 shots from behind the three-point line. So, I mean, not only do the Cavaliers have defense, but they also have guys that can put it up from beyond the arc.
Yeah.
And you know that's putting up points in a hurry.
Yeah, they look like they're very essential. They're about the basics. The coach is doing a good job instilling those fundamentals in them. And they could go far. I could honestly see them winning the ACC tournament without any issue.
And when you have balance on a basketball team, you're much better prepared to handle if a guy has an off night.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be if, you know, you have a guy averaging 15, 13, you know, 10, 11 down the line. If your top guy is struggling to score points,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be that difficult for the guy number your sixth man or seventh man to come in and throw in a couple more shots.
Okay.
But when you have for not to say this is the case, but a team like Oklahoma mm-hmm. and Trae Young, sensational mm-hmm. point guard,
mm-hmm.
If he struggles offensively, if he's not getting his team involved, a la West Virginia, I believe, where he I think as a team they had 8 assists
mm-hmm.
as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. I think he ended up with either one assist or no assist in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a point guard, like your job is to get everybody involved. You can get yours off anytime because you have the ball in your hands all the time.
Right.
And especially that Oklahoma team, especially with Trae Young, mm-hmm. he has the ball. He's bringing the ball up almost all the time.
Right, Trey's averaging 29 points a game, which just impresses me.
Crazy.
And I don't think anybody has ever, and this includes Magic Johnson, I don't think anybody has ever led the nation in scoring and assist in NCAA basketball.
No, you're right.
I'm saying that off the top of my head. So if there's someone out there who's like an encyclopedia, because I'm not even looking at the online or any stats.
I wonder if Dick Groat, I feel like he. I know he averaged a lot of points,
mm-hmm.
but he wasn't a freshman.
Right.
Okay.
I think that's the difference between Trae Young and some other probably I don't know if you Dick Groat might be considered an all-time great, but I'm pretty sure he was up there in points and assists.
Yeah, he was.
But he wasn't. But he wasn't a freshman.
All right. Well, I mean, Trey's dishing off 9 assists, and he's knocking down 29 points a game.
That's sick.
Which is crazy. And then it was interesting that you said it, Vince, because you were talking about, you know, getting other players involved. And the thing about Oklahoma is you have other players, but you only have two other players that are scoring in double figures. This is Christian James and Brady Manick. And they're playing as many games as Trey's playing. They're playing like 22 and 23 games. So they're, Christian James averages 11 points a game, and so does Manick. Then after that, I mean, you look at Latin. I've seen Latin play. Kadeem Latin is good. I mean, he's good on the boards, and he looks like he's an athlete. The man I think everybody is sleeping on, and I think that if the Oklahoma Sooners want to make something happen, you got to get Jordan Shepherd into the game. Jordan Shepherd's number 13. He's an athlete that can handle the ball, so Trey Young wouldn't have to play that point guard position as much because Jordan Shepherd – and Jordan's played in 22 games, but he's only averaging 2 points a game. But he's also – I mean, he's a pretty good shooter. He's shooting 40% from the floor, and then he's when you put him on the foul line, he's shooting 78%, and he's shooting 37% from behind the 3-point line. Trey's averaging 39% from behind the 3-point line. So, I mean, if you get another guard in there that can free up Trey and let Trey play the shooting guard position, Oklahoma could be dangerous.
That's what I think they are going to have to do a little bit of, is letting someone else play point guard, mm-hmm. bring the ball up. The last game I saw with Trey Young against Texas,
mm-hmm.
He came up. I mean, there were times – I know they pushed the ball, mm-hmm. but there were definitely times that he walked the ball up. You could tell he was tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he launched 2 30-foot shots, mm-hmm. like in a row, which – and he missed, led to fast break points for Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding that – he is a freshman. He's got to go through some of these growing pains of a freshman. But yeah, coach will be wise to let him play off the ball a little bit,
mm-hmm.
to preserve him. And also, when you get to the tournament,
mm-hmm.
to conference championships and whatnot, teams are going to throw players at him.
And that's what I think West Virginia did, mm-hmm. and I think that's what Texas did. I mean, Texas, like you had mentioned, in the Texas game, he only scored 19 points in the mm-hmm. game against Texas, but he had 14 assists,
yeah.
okay? And then he followed up. West Virginia is the game that he only had one assist mm-hmm. in. That's the one you were talking about. So he had one assist, but he had 32 points. And that was after he had scored 44 points against Baylor. Like, mm-hmm. he torched Baylor for 44 points. And then earlier in January, he had torched Texas Christian for 43 points. It's exciting to watch him play and to get excited about him putting up so many points. But as I said before, I think it's going to be best to get either, you know, keep him at that point guard position and have him continually distribute the ball, mm-hmm. or move him over to shooting guard and have Shepherd come in and play that point,
right.
and let him just roam free so he can get open for his 3-point right. shot. So let's switch it real quick. I'm going to shift gears on you guys. HBCU Hoops. Our Hoops poll is on our website. It's there every week. I think we're the only people in the country that are doing the top 25 historically black colleges and universities, top 25 basketball poll. And I'm kind of proud of that, so I'm going to brag about it. And we do it for the men and the women. So, young ladies, we have not forgotten about you. As far as our men's poll is concerned, at the top still this week, as of Monday, you had Morehouse was number one. They had a record of 19-1. Clark Atlanta was number two, 20-2. Stillman was at number four. Stillman was at number three. They moved up from number four. They were 20-3. And you have Virginia State at four and Allen University at five. Now, Allen University plays in the NAIA. Again, I told you, we throw everybody into the pot. And the reason that Allen makes it up to number five is because they have a record of 20-5 at this part of the season. So I'm not going to tell you the rest. Go check it out. And we're updated every Monday. It comes out on Tuesday. So that you can see it for the week. And I think you'll see some interesting schools that are in the top 25. And that's for the men. Now, for the women, again, I mean, it's been consistent with Morehouse for the men. And then for the women, you got Virginia Union again. the Lady Panthers, who have been ranked nationally in other polls or take the top spot in our poll, they have a record of 20-2. They have 20-2, so they lost the game, but they still are in there at 20-2. They were number one last week and remain there. Virginia State is still at number two. They're at 19-2. Both those teams play in the same conference. They play in the CIAA, which is going to be interesting when it comes down to the CIAA conference tournament. You have Dillard, who's from the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference. That's in the NAIA again. They were number four last week. They moved up to number three. They're 19-3 as of Monday. Then you have Edward Waters College, who's from the same conference as Dillard, at 19-4. They dropped from number three to number four. And then you have Central State, who plays in the SIAC, Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, at 17-4. They hold down the number five spot. Now go check it out, because things have changed between number five and number 25. And I want you to go check it out and see. Plus, we have features on there with the different players and the different teams. Now we're talking about Vince's favorite topic before we go. Couldn't get away. Tried to get away, but couldn't get away. Got to talk about the NBA. Which is getting interesting, Vince, because people are kind of questioning LeBron now.
Oh, my. Yeah, you know what? As well they should. I mean.
Really?
I think you have to a little bit.
Why?
I mean, look, I think that I'm not saying that. I don't think it's a – with LeBron, it's a, you know what? No, maybe it is. I think it's a lack of fight.
Okay.
You know, like the other night, they scored 8 points in a quarter, in the fourth quarter. Isn't that LeBron's quarter?
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron can drop 20 in a quarter if he wanted to.
Right.
And when you lose a 21-point lead to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you were up like, I think they were up like 21 or something.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you lose that lead, and then you lose by, I think by 21 or something like that. I mean, that's just there's like pride, you know. To me, like, pride comes into it, and I remember watching LeBron in the younger days, in the playoffs. I think it was against the Pistons. Scored like 25, 26 straight points for his team,
mm-hmm.
to pull out to get the win.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that he should have to do that, but you have to, as the best, quote-unquote, best player on the planet, if you're still that, you need to go out there and exert your will.
Did you just say if you're still that? You're questioning whether or not LeBron James is the best player on the planet right now?
I mean, look, there's a dude named Kevin Durant.
Nah, he's not that, the best player on the planet right
that,
now.
I mean, yo, I mean, yeah, how come you can't debate it?
What do you mean you can't debate it? I'm going to debate it with you.
He's putting up points. He can easily match him in points, rebounds.
But the situation is different. And the reason I say that, Kevin Durant has superstars on his team. He's on a team full of superstars. LeBron James is on one of the oldest teams in the league.
But they're still talented.
But they're not superstars. You're going to tell me, how many superstars can you name on the Cleveland Cavaliers right now?
Look,
aside from LeBron James.
Look, because when you look at the Warriors, in addition to the starters, the four out of five who are in the upper echelon players, you know.
Four out of five, though. You got Klay Thompson. You got Steph Curry. You got Draymond Green. Right. Okay, and then you got Kevin Durant.
Right.
I mean, come on, man. There's no comparison.
But that's the one player. Just because he plays on that team doesn't take away from what he's capable of doing. I mean,
it doesn't take away. This is my argument. Kevin Durant is not the best player in the league. He got the NBA MVP in the finals because he deserved it. Yes, he played his butt off. I'm not saying he cannot play. But he does not have to play as hard as LeBron James. LeBron James carried the Cleveland, and you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan. LeBron James carried the Cleveland Cavaliers all season long. We have not made it to the All-Star break yet. And that man is tired. I'm sorry. He's tired. Because when you got when you're looking at the discrepancy between the Kevin Love incident, Kevin Love, okay, he got sick. So everybody jumps on Kevin Love. I mean, LeBron, I'm mad at LeBron. So LeBron should have stepped up and said, don't worry about it.
Right.
Let's just go out there and do what we got to do.
Right.
Okay? As far as leadership, yeah, I think he might be taking it back right now. Like, you know what? Do I want to work with these guys or do I not want to work with these guys? That's what I think he is. But it doesn't make him not the best player in the planet right now.
What I'm saying is, like, there's a, to me, there's a debate. Like, I'm not just going to give it to him still.
He earned it. What are you talking about,
I think, obviously, he has been the best player of his generation. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
He's putting up phenomenal stats, you know, playing with enormous efficiency. You know, we talked about that in previous weeks. I get that. I'm just saying that there has to be a discussion about Kevin Durant being in there.
No, man. Kevin Durant has not carried a team. Kevin Durant was playing with Russell Westbrook and James Harden, and they still couldn't get it done.
Right.
Okay. Kevin Durant.
You can make the argument that he quit.
No, he's not as good as LeBron James. LeBron James has carried a team. You cannot deny the fact that when LeBron James first came to Cleveland, Cleveland became somebody. LeBron James left, Cleveland disappeared. Then he went to Miami. Even with Dwayne Wade at Miami, they became someone when he was there. They weren't going to win six titles. Okay, that was asinine. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he created that franchise. Well, he uplifted the franchise. Then you bring him back to Cleveland, he uplifts the franchise. Kevin Durant has not uplifted any franchise.
What I'm saying is when I look at Kevin Durant, and I still think he's evolving as a player, when you consider this year averaging 2 blocks a game, so and he takes on that challenge. Like when they play the Cavs, the Golden State Warriors play the Cavs, like he's like, I'm guarding LeBron.
Okay.
If LeBron is supposed to be the man, look, I'm taking it upon myself to dig in and I'm gonna guard this dude and I'm gonna make him work. And I'm not saying that Kevin Durant is and LeBron James is not. I just think that that Kevin Durant has worked himself into the conversation.
All right, so this is what I'm gonna say to you. And last time that they met Martin Luther King's birthday, January 15th. They met. The final score of that game was 118-108 in favor of the Golden State Warriors. I ain't mad at that. Number one, when you say I'm Kevin Durant, and you know when you were growing up too, if you boys, you go to the playground, you're gonna be hooping it up with your boys. Mm-hmm. All right, so if you and your boy who you go to the playground every day with when you're working out in the off season, y'all on opposite side on opposite teams, who are you gonna pick to guard? You're gonna pick your boy because you know him. You've played him. You know what he does. You know his tendencies. Mm-hmm. You know how he plays ball. So I'm gonna pick my boy because we're competitive and it's me against you.
Right.
All right, and we're gonna have fun doing it. Mm-hmm. That's what that's all about. We, the fans that are looking into it, we put more into that. But when Kevin Durant plays LeBron James, oh, he's having fun because he's like, okay, I'm going to beat you down. LeBron's like, no, I'm going to beat you down. I got you. But that doesn't make Kevin Durant the best player in the world because he is not better than LeBron James.
I haven't quite seen that out of LeBron. Like, I've seen the, like, and in particular with this season, when they've struggled defensively,
mm-hmm.
I've seen LeBron check out.
Yeah, I think he's tired. Like, I think he's worn out.
I'm talking about the first quarter, second quarter.
LeBron James was averaging crazy numbers this season in the first half.
If you're tired,
okay.
I always tell my son, when you're playing, what do you need to do if you're tired? Mm-hmm. Yo, tap out.
But see now, and here's where we and matter of fact, KD dropped 32 points when they beat the Cavs in January 15th. My thing with that is, it's different because you're in the NBA. If LeBron James taps out of anything, people like yourself are going to say he's no longer the best player in the world.
No, what I'm saying is we all need a rest. We all need to recharge.
I get that.
And I've felt for the last couple years that they needed to be more strategic in giving him rest.
Right.
So, I mean –
And in that game, I don't mean to cut you off, but in that game, LeBron also scored 32 points. So they played even in the loss that the Cavaliers had. And the Cavaliers still lost 118-108. Okay, so I scored 32 points. Kevin Durant scores 32 points. We still lost. Where you go from there? I'm the best player in the world.
Look,
when you look at the talent that the Golden State Warriors have around Kevin Durant, then you look at the talent that the Cleveland Cavaliers have around LeBron James, there is no comparison.
Oh, there isn't.
Okay.
I'm not comparing. I mean, I think the Cavs still have talented guys.
Of course they do.
And put in the right role, managed the right way, they're capable of winning a championship. They're capable of being considered the best team, or playing as one of the best teams in the NBA,
mm-hmm.
night in, night out.
Mm-hmm.
They're capable of that.
Mm-hmm. LeBron James is still the best player in the world. You're like, I got to think about that. Think about what? There's nobody that's doing the things LeBron is doing.
Like, LeBron has all the cards right now.
And he should. He sacrificed for Cleveland. The whole city. This is the city that burned his jersey when he left. This is the city that looked at him like he wasn't nothing.
What does that mean?
What do you mean, what does that mean?
I mean, all the people that burned the jersey probably went out and bought another one.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, as soon as he left. But
does LeBron really care that some people burned his jersey? Because if he did, why would he come back home?
Because he cared. LeBron James, listen, let me finish. Let me finish this thought. LeBron James goes to Miami. Great business decision. Mm-hmm. But the way he handled the business decision was totally wrong.
Right.
So what he did was he dissed his people. Mm-hmm. Dissed his people in Akron, Ohio. Dissed his people in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now you, where are you from? Pittsburgh? Nope, you're from Cleveland.
Right.
So you, when you leave Cleveland, when you go back to Cleveland, you want your family and your friends and your peoples to love you when you get back home. You don't want to deal with no enemies, no negativity, because home is home. Okay? That's where I rest my head. This is where I can chill. LeBron couldn't come home. Okay? And that's why he got another home in Los Angeles right now. He couldn't come home. So while he's in Miami doing his thing, and then he failed on the prediction. Mm. Okay, there's no way in the world he should have said six.
Right.
You know, he shouldn't have gone. They got That's full true. Of themselves. There's no way where he should have said that.
That's true.
So you go down there, great business decision, but you're away from home now. Now you want to come home. You already messed that up. Okay, and now you got people that are hating you. They took your mural off the side of a building. Come on, man. They took the mural of the man that saved the franchise off the side of the building. Because if and you know this as well as I do, and even though you're a fan, if LeBron had never been with the Cleveland Cavaliers, nobody would be checking for the Cleveland Cavaliers right now.
I mean, they had some decent GMs. David Griffin was a very good GM.
And they got rid of him.
But I'm just saying that they had good people in place, and whether the upper management ownership made a change doesn't reflect the job that the front office was able to do. I mean, they still got Kyrie, they still got Tristan. They made some bad, you know, a bad move with Anthony Bennett.
Number one draft picked overall. Are you kidding me?
If you look at that draft sucked.
It was terrible. That was the worst draft pick ever. And I don't mean any harm to Anthony Bennett, but where is he now? The proof is going to be in the pudding. And on Sunday, Cleveland takes a trip to Boston. They take on the Celtics on Sunday. So that's tomorrow. So that's going to be interesting. It's Urban Media Today talking sports. Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, myself. Big guy, you hear this, man? Please come back so we can get these guys straight. We'll see you next week. Yeah. We got more where this came from. Have a good weekend.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of game is being played? How's it doing there? I get up, all right?
Urban Media Today remembers our heroes from the past.
I have a dream.
The present.
What I appreciate so much about this thing is that I'm being seen for who I am and being appreciated for who I am. And it makes it that much more difficult to dismiss me.
And the future.
The new day is on the horizon.
Celebrating Black History Month, we are Urban Media Today.